several of those seconds, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. So turn to 2 Chronicles, and let's look at chapter 20 in just a moment. I want to preach a lesson this morning that to me is a very stirring kind of a lesson. I want to talk about the power of singing. For congregations that I have preached to for a number of years, I think it becomes pretty obvious to people that I have preached to regularly that I love songs and I love to sing. There was a guy back at Gardendale who one time said concerning me, he said, "Jeff May doesn't just listen to songs, he devours them." And I think what he meant by that is that he just eats songs up, he devours them. I mean, he just hangs on all the words of the song, and I think that's true. In fact, I can't stand it when I'm maybe riding along with somebody or somebody's at my house and a song comes on the radio, and I say to them, "Listen to this song." And I mean, before the thing is over, they're talking. They're talking and trying to say something to me, and that just aggravates me. I told you to listen to the song. And when I said listen, I meant to listen. Some of my favorite sermons that I have preached along the way are those times when I have taken a song. It might be a song that has been on the radio that has a little bit of a spiritual side to it. Or a song from our songbook. And I'll take that and I'll preach from that. And one of the reasons I do that is because I know that we sing songs often and we hear songs often. And it's my hope that sometimes you'll take that song and it'll remind you of some things that were preached on that relate to the song. My upbringing probably has a lot to do with that. The May family is a singing family. We've always done that, and I think that has a whole lot to do with it. I think about how many things I've learned about the Bible from my childhood songs. Somebody the other day here was saying, you know, that sometimes to say the books of the New Testament, I have to, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and, you know, I have to sing the song. And songs have helped us a whole lot along those lines. I was thinking about true worship as we sang it this morning. We turned to it and I noticed what the song was and I told Susan, I said, "That's my song. That's my childhood song." My daddy has told me that when you would get up to lead a song in the boys' class, you did not know the words to true worship, but you knew the melody and you were da 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 da, and it just stays with you. It stays with you all the way. My daddy is a lyric lover. He was probably the one who kind of got me to doing that. He would say things along the way as we were going down the road, "Jeff, listen to this song," and he would turn the radio up and we would listen very closely to it. Singing is an emotional thing to me. Singing is something that touches me on the deepest level because it connects me to my past, it affects me in the present, and it focuses my eyes on the future. Even songs that I hear on the radio sometimes can really catch my attention, especially when they are spiritual in nature. One of my favorite songs, one of my favorite soul stirrers from my childhood, is a song that's called "Coat of Many Colors." I like that song because it's a song, first of all, it connects me to my daddy, who, first of all, taught the song to me. He's the first one who ever exposed me to the song. It's a song that connects me to my mom because I think of a lot of things that she did along the way for me that showed her love and her care for me. It connects me to Joseph of the Bible, who I don't hesitate to call my friend. I remember one time talking to a preacher friend of mine, and he said, "These people are my friends. You know, my closest friends are people in the Bible." And you feel that way about them when you spend a lot of time with them. And so when I hear the song, it connects me with Joseph. It reminds me to never make fun of anybody, and it reminds me of where the true riches are. That even though we may have very little, if we have God, we have it all. The song simply says, "Back through the years, I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors and every piece was small. And I didn't have a coat and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece with love. She made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore. And then she said, "Perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness." And I just couldn't wait to wear it. And Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my Mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me in my coat of many colors my Mama made for me. And I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them of the love my Mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story Mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my Mama made for me, made just for me. It's songs like that that move me, and I'm thankful for it. And by the way, that song was recently added to our Library of Congress, where some songs are added yearly that have made a tremendous impact culturally and historically on our society. I'm not surprised that it made it into that. I want to share with you this morning why singing is powerful. Singing is powerful because it, first of all, moves God. Singing moves God by its very expression. God loves singing. In fact, it was God's idea. You ever thought about that? God did not have to make us where we could sing. But God, for some reason, just built this stuff into us where we are a people who have the ability to sing. That tells me that it moves God. A song that is sung especially by people who love God has the power to move God. Now we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The situation here is that there are three bands of people who have come against Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Ammon and Moab and the people of Mount Seir have all come to battle against Judah. And it was such a huge army that Jehoshaphat thought, how in the world are we ever going to deal with this? But I love what he says in chapter 20 and verse 10. He says to God, "Now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. And now, God, here they are. God, you wouldn't let us deal with them on the way, but now look at them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Let me ask you something. Have you ever been there? Jehoshaphat says to God, "God, we don't know what to do. But God, our eyes are upon you." And let me tell you something. God loves that. God loves that kind of faith and that kind of dependence that basically says, "God, it's out of my hands. I don't know what to do, but all of my trust and my confidence is in you." I want to tell you, that moves the God of heaven. You say, "Preacher, how you know?" Come on down to verse 17 and 18. The prophet says to his people, speaking for God, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Basically, he's saying what we sing, the battle belongs to the Lord. You're not going to have to fight. Go out there, position yourselves, and then watch what I do. And all of that happened because Jehoshaphat said, "Our eyes are upon you." Now come down to what it says in verse 22. The singers go out before the army, and it says, "When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Verse 24, So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped. Do you get the picture? These people began to sing praises to God, and whoom, people fall to the ground dead. And when they get there and look, they're already gone. God had fought their battle. What do I learn from that? I learned that singing moves God. Here's my question. What moved God? I want you to understand this morning that it was not voice quality. I think sometimes people kind of hold back from singing because they feel like, I just don't sing very well. But let me tell you something. You don't have to sing well as you think of well. You don't have to sing well to sing in a way that moves God. Folks, this is not America's Got Talent. This is not American Idol. There's no judges. There's no competition. Nobody's sitting in judgment on how well you sing. It's not about voice quality. That is not what God is listening for. I set before you two passages this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 in your Bible says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you see what that emphasized? Make melody in your heart. All right, let's look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can you see that these are companion thoughts? Paul is saying that when you sing, what you do is you make melody in your heart. And let me tell you something, that's what God's listening for. God is listening for the vibrations of the heart, what you feel in your heart, and you're giving that to God. It's not about how it sounds in my ear or your ear. It's about how it sounds to God. And God is listening to the heart. And I want you to understand that. Our heart has been affected by all that God has done for us. And so there is grace in our hearts. Our hearts are full of what God has done for us. And that makes its way out in song. We sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. That's what moved God. And surely all of us remember Acts chapter 16, don't we? In Acts chapter 16, remember there in Acts chapter 16, there they were, and they were in prison, Paul and Silas. They had been beaten unmercifully for what they were trying to preach. They were thrown into prison. And Acts 16 and verse 26 mentions that Paul and Silas at midnight were singing hymns to God. And verse 26 of Acts 16 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. You say, Jeff, what do you get out of that verse? Here's what I get. Singing moved God. That when God saw His servants, not pouting, not complaining, not saying, oh, I've served God all my life and look what it's gotten me. When He saw their trust and their confidence and how they were glad to serve Him and singing and praying, I mean the whole place began to shake and rattle. And all the chains were loosed. Singing moves God. Your singing moves God. If you're singing from the heart, and I don't want anybody in this building to ever shy away from singing and singing at the top of your lungs. It sounds beautiful to God if the melody is being made in the heart. Psalm 66 and verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Sometimes somebody will come to a singing here in Oakland, one of our quarterly singings, and they'll say, Jeff, I've come to make my joyful shout. And what they're trying to say is, I don't think I sing very good, but I love to sing. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants. It may be a joyful shout, but it sounds wonderful to God. And guess who sings with us? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12 says that our Lord sings with us. You ever thought about that? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, speaking of Jesus and His relationship to His brethren. This is all the people of God. Hebrews 2 and verse 12, this is what Jesus says of Himself about how He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He says, I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation, I will sing my praise to you. Folks, there's a picture of all the people of God gathered around the throne of God, singing praise to God, and guess who sings with us? Jesus sings with us. And if our Lord sings with us, what does that tell me? Singing moves our Lord. And that's the first point I want us to see this morning. Singing is powerful because of what it does with God. Jehoshaphat's enemies defeated. Prison bars falling apart. Singing moves God. But not only that, singing moves us. It sure does me. It moves us, but it moves us by its teaching. I do believe that melody is important when it comes to a song. I think melody is important with a song. I have seen that there are some songs that have great words, but in my opinion, they have terrible melody. Now others may like it, but there's some songs where I just have felt that, you know, the melody just could have been better. And the melody affected it. And in those moments, what I have to do is I have to really key in on the words of the song because the melody is affecting things. But there's been other times when there have been songs that have had great melody, but I look for the content and it's nothing. It is nothing. The words aren't powerful. And I will say this morning, some of the most powerful songs that have ever been written are in our songbook. And I want to tell you, they teach and they teach powerfully. But I think what we have to understand is the most powerful part of a song is its message. Did you notice again in these two verses that we looked? The Bible says that when we sing, we are speaking to one another. I'm speaking to you. You're speaking to me when we sing. I'm hearing those words and they're also teaching me. They're teaching me and they are admonishing me. So songs move us because they teach us. Another thing I'll tell you about it is they can change our focus and our mood. Elton this morning at the Lord's Supper said, you know, let's leave the world behind now. Mike Reynolds, when he was here, used to say, Lord, help us to leave our problems at the door. And so that's what happens. We come into this service sometimes. Somebody was here Wednesday night, and they talked about how they had a pretty bad day, had not felt real good, but right there close to church time, got to feeling better, came on, and felt better. I can't tell you the number of times people have said, man, I came in here not feeling so good, but I feel better. That's because singing has a way of changing our focus, and it changes our mood. And that's why we sing, if the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If the cares and burdens seem great all the whole world through, there's a silver lining that shines in that heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy today. It does that. Singing also helps us to live right. I want you to notice Ephesians 5. Turn to Ephesians 5 where we were reading that passage twice now. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, you've got to see this contrast. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, beginning, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. God says, don't be filled with wine. If you want to fill up with the Spirit. You say, well, how do I fill up with the Spirit? Well, this verse tells you how to fill up with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And so what we need to do is we need to use songs to fill up our spirit with God's Spirit. You ever notice how when you sing spiritual songs, it helps you to keep your mind on something spiritual? How many of you have ever had a song to stay with you all day long? And every once in a while you hear somebody say, man, I just can't get this song out of my head. Well, that's a good idea. Start your day off with a song. And let that song stay in your head all day long. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll help you to live right. I don't believe for a minute that a person who is a Christian can go out there and live like a party animal and sing trust and obey at the same time. I don't believe a person can do it. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and for all who will trust and obey. I don't believe you can sin and sing at the same time. Not comfortably, you can't. And so what God is trying to say to us, get a song in your heart. Sing the songs. Be singing people. Sing as you go about your day. because sin and singing doesn't go together too well. And then this, it'll help us to press on toward home. Singing just keeps us pressing. Slow and steady wins the race. It helps us to deal with our trials. Our service Wednesday night was powerful. We have had some Wednesday nights lately that have been so edifying. Our song service started off Wednesday night, not long into it, where Carl led, "You Are My Strength." And as he was singing, one thing because of the song, another thing because it was Carl, the song and Carl spoke to me. Carl was speaking to me. He was teaching me in the singing of that song. And what he was teaching me and what he was speaking to me was, anytime you've got a trial, you just keep your faith and your hope strong and put your confidence in God. 136. Let's sing it again this morning. 136. Do me, small book. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Nancy Reeves, who I believe is Jeb Reeves' mother, who preaches, Jeb preaches here in Athens, recently wrote a piece called A Song in My Heart. She talks about her mother who has been struggling with Alzheimer's. And she says, as we think about how that singing helps us with our trials, she mentions a day when she was with her mother. And after we had our ritual cup of hot tea, we opened the songbook and we spent a wonderful hour singing hymns together. She then says, doctors have found that singing is one of the last capacities to leave an Alzheimer's patient. When we sing together, I am transported back to a time when I sat next to her in services, listening to her lovely alto voice. Ironically, she opened the book this morning to the hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" We began to sing this encouraging song, and the second verse is especially fitting. "Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near?" She says, "Oh, how I needed that song. Jesus cares about my loss, and He cares when you too have a broken heart." She mentions the need to sing songs like "Sing and Be Happy." And then at the close of it, she says, "About 5 years ago, I took my mother to the beauty shop, and when the girl asked her if I was her daughter, she replied, 'No, but she is my best friend.' As you can imagine, it was a tough moment for me. Yet I couldn't help but be thankful that she thought of me in that way. All the time she sat there that day, she was humming a hymn. I couldn't place the tune, and on the way I asked her about it, and she began singing in her sweet voice the chorus of Singing Redemption's Sweet Song. I drove down the road with tears running down my cheeks, thinking that my mother may not know me, but she still knows her Savior. Singing is powerful. And some of you here sing regularly at the nursing homes. That is a great thing to do. Don't stop that. That is a great thing to do. Singing moves us by its teaching and helping us deal with trials. I tell you something else. It brings us to repentance. Sometimes it does. In Psalm 137 and verse 1, you may remember Israel had been taken captive. And in Psalm 137, beginning in verse 1, they're in captivity, and it says in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. So here they are, they're in captivity, they're remembering home, they're weeping. And in verse 3 it says, for there those who carried us away captive required of us a song. They said, sing us one of your songs. Sing us one of the songs that you used to sing when you were back home. And their answer was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Basically what they're saying is, we can't sing. The song has been ripped out of our hearts. And it brought them to repentance. Wednesday night, one of the things that was moving about our service was Angela responded at the end of the service and Lynn spoke on her behalf. And as Lynn shared with us, Angela said, tonight's service moved me. The song service moved me. The songs that we were singing tonight, I was listening, but I couldn't sing. They were songs about heaven, and I just couldn't sing the songs acceptably. Here you are singing about heaven, but you feel like if I don't make some changes, I'm not going to go. I've been there. Many of us have been there. When we knew that what I'm singing doesn't fit here. And what Angela was teaching us was that, singing's powerful. It can move you. I have a friend who for a long time was away from the Lord, and I called him this week to make sure I had the story right. He was away from the Lord for a long time, and there was a family member who happened to be in the hospital on a Sunday morning. He had not been to church in ages. But on this particular Sunday morning, the sun was shining, and he said, I was walking across the parking lot of that hospital. He said, I don't know where it came from. I could not see the church building, but there had to have been a church building nearby where they had their windows up, and they were singing Heavenly Sunlight. Heavenly Sunlight. And he said, it just pierced right into my heart. And I decided right then and there that I was going to get my life right with the Lord. Singing. Made by God, designed by God, moves Him and moves us. And I tell you something else it does. It gives us an easy outlet to express our thanks and our praise to God. I need something like that. I need an easy expression of my praise. And singing does that. In James chapter 5 and verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Then it says, is anyone cheerful? Is anyone cheerful? Sing psalms. We need that. I love it when people just go about the day and they're happy, they're cheerful, and they sing psalms. That's what God says that we need to do. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 is another passage that shows how easy it ought to be. Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so we see then that singing gives us an easy outlet to express our thanks and praise to God. I have a friend who some time back was beginning to date this girl. She was coming to church. She wasn't yet a Christian. But she was coming to church, and they got into this fight after services one night. Of all things. But they got into this little spat after services because she wouldn't sing at church services. And they'd been dating long enough, he felt like he could say something. So he said to her on the way out when they were in the car, "I don't understand why you don't sing. After everything God's done for you, you don't sing." She said, "I don't have to sing. I sing in my heart." Well, he came to me later and said, "Jeff, what do I do? What do I do? She won't sing. What do I do?" I said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's not a Christian yet." I said, "You let her learn the Lord. You let her learn the Lord. You let her get a full grasp of everything God has done for her. You let her do that, and I tell you, she'll either sing or she'll bust, one or the other." Well, it wasn't long after that he came up to me. We were away for a while, and he came back to me, and he said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "She's singing." And not only was she singing, she had obeyed the gospel. And singing became just a natural outlet for the praise that she wanted to give God. But let me tell you why she did that. The story came out as to why she wouldn't sing. She finally told him, she said, "When I was a little girl, I was singing around the house, and my mama, who left us and left me as a teenage girl to take care of my brothers and sisters, my mama said to me, 'Shut up. You sound horrible.'" She said, "I never wanted to sing again." He said, and she wouldn't, not even just regular old songs. She wouldn't sing. Bottom line was, is her heart was blocked. Her heart was toughened up. I understand that. I commented to my wife along the way. I said, "Honey, I used to cry at the drop of a hat." And I said, "Now, it just seems like I've kind of lost that along the way, but I'm starting to get it back. I don't know what happened." But sometimes there's things that can kind of shut you up. But when you understand what the Lord has done for you, it gives an easy outlet for praise. And then I want to share this. Singing can be moving for others who are listening. I think it had that effect on others in Acts chapter 16. Did you notice the prisoners didn't leave? I've always noticed that. Here, the prison bars fall apart, but the prisoners don't leave. It's like they were singing this song, everything falls apart, and I don't think they dared to leave. I don't think they dared to leave, realizing everything that had taken place. And then the jailer wanted to know more. In Acts 16, beginning in verse 30, the Bible simply says, in regard to this moment, he brought them out, the jailer did, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. And when he brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. You see the effect that singing had on others? One of the dearest ladies I ever knew in all my life in Brundage, Alabama, was Laurette Woodruff. She was like a mother to me. She was one of those sisters, one of those mamas that Jesus promised he would give me. Miss Laurette ended up in the hospital very sick. And in the hospital, the nurses, seeing how sick she was, said to her, "Miss Laurette, is there anything we can do for you?" And she said, "Yeah, you can sing Amazing Grace with me." And she began singing Amazing Grace. And those nurses sang with her. She had to have a surgery. And after her surgery, they were going to take her to another floor, and those nurses begged for her to be brought back to her floor. That's the kind of impact she was having on them. And at the moment Miss Laurette died, there were other Christians around her who began to sing praises to God. And after that singing, the doctor asked her daughter to step outside into the hallway, and here's what he said. He said, "Ann, I want to tell you something." He said, "I have never had that great of an impression of the Church of Christ." He said, "But you people have changed my mind." Singing can move others who are listening. And I want to give a quick warning about the opposite power of singing. The Bible will warn us about other kinds of singing. There are bad lyrics that can fill your heart. There are bad lyrics that are fed by sin and by the devil. And when you listen to them, you're not being filled with the Spirit. You're being filled with evil. And the thing is, it gets in there and it stays in there. I can tell you now, there are some songs that I wish I had never, ever heard. because they just don't go away so easily. They burn on the brain. You choose your music library quickly. And our last point this morning is that singing has the power to unite the people of God. I think it did for us Wednesday night. This is a good church, people. This is a good church. Not a perfect church. It's a good church. And I think Wednesday night, it helped us to see that even more so. We all struggle with temptation. We sometimes mess up. We sometimes bump into each other. Don't you at home, with your regular family at home, don't you bump into each other sometime? If you do it there, you'll do it here. We sometimes bump into each other. We sometimes get jealous of other people. But we are a family, and every family's going to have some of that. And singing helps us to see that we really do love each other and we do need each other. We're like porcupines. I understand that porcupines need to huddle up in the winter to stay warm, but when they do, they sometimes stick each other. And that's the way it is with us. We need each other. We need each other. We need to be together. The world's not going to help us. We need each other. We're all we got. And we're sometimes going to stick. But we need the warmth. And we need to forgive each other in those moments when we stick. And if there's anybody in this audience this morning who needs to get something right with somebody, please do it. Please do it. We are one. We are one. In Romans the 12th chapter and verse 9, Romans the 12th chapter and verse 9, the Bible says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." We're one. Get your song books one more time, and the lesson will be yours. Number 112. Number 112. 112. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth stanza. First, third, and fourth.
In the body of the Lord, we are bound in unity, just as we are one with God. You are also part of me. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love.
Singing has the power to unite the people of God. How beautiful and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 and verse 1. And I want to just finish this morning by saying, singing is so powerful. I don't plan to stop. In Psalm 104 and verse 33, we end with a fitting passage. Psalm 104 and verse 33, the Bible says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let's all sing. And let's realize that when this life is over, we're going to be the only ones singing. Nobody else has anything to sing about. He gave us a song. If you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, we urge you to come while we stand and as we sing.